Hey.
Did you call me from a different number?
No.
How weird. It says Josh Firestein or Josh Firestein is calling.
Oh, weird. Hey,
Kind
one
of.
second. Sorry. Hey, Catherine. Catherine, it's saying online that it's going to take 5 to 7 weeks to get it.
That's expedited.
That's expedited?
The grab is $60 for expedited.
To get it 5 to 6, 7 weeks.
Yeah, it's like 10 to 11, I think, is the normal amount.
I'm never getting a passport then. No, the birth certificate's going to take 5 to 7 weeks.
What are you trying to do?
Get a passport, but
for
I
what?
have to get a
To
birth
go where?
certificate first because my mom freaking lost it.
To go where?
Kuwait, Bahrain, and Cuba.
Oh shit. Are you performing out there?
Not the looks of it.
Huh?
It doesn't look like it, no.
Oh, but that was what the plan was going to be?
Yeah.
Damn, Cuba
it's
would
in
have been cool.
January. Yeah.
You can get a passport by then. I think you can get a birth certificate before then.
Well, I need to get the birth certificate first, then the passport, because you can't get a passport without a birth certificate, I assume.
Can't you go to like the living records place? Some shit like that?
I mean, I could. I can't. I mean, I'm not driving to California.
No, maybe. Yeah, I don't know how that works. Let's talk about baseball. I don't want to talk about your
Yeah.
improving comedy career. That's the last thing I want to talk about. You were supposed to be quitting, so it's disappointing to find out you're going international.
Oh yeah, big time, baby.
Back to where it all started. Back to, you've been. It's not. It won't be your first time in the Middle East.
No, not the first time. But I've been to Kuwait. I have not been to Kuwait actually. I've never been to either one of those places, Bahrain or Kuwait.
Gotcha. All right. Well, we'll talk about sports. I don't want to out that you're a fucking very successful comedian. That's the worst thing I've heard today.
Oh, I'm not. I'm giving the gig to somebody else. So if you have a passport.
I do have a passport.
Well, look at you, fucking Mr. Prepared.
Here I go to Kuwait, the other place you said, and Cuba.
There you go.
Okay. So you're a baseball fan. You're Josh Firestein. You're a baseball fan. You and I are fans of similar teams. You like the Seahawks and the Mariners, but they're like your second or third team, I think, in some case. Is that right?
Yeah, second. I don't have a third team, but I like to root for the home team. That's my thing. I like to root for the home team. It's fun.
Yeah, it's
so
crazy.
I've been living here.
You like to root for the home team so much that you went to a Texas Rangers game and bought a Texas Rangers jersey.
I did.
Even though there's a rival, they're an actual rival of your supposed second favorite team.
I was cheering for the Mariners, though. It was really confusing for everybody else in those seats.
Yeah, I have to admit. I went to I'm a Cubs fan. The Cubs are my second favorite team. And the first time they came to Seattle in interleague play, I went to two of the three games, and one time I went dressed in Mariner shit and one time in Cub shit. And I think that in both cases, the team I had the jersey on for lost. And it was rough because it's like, you're like, I want, like, I don't know. You don't think about cheering for a team until it becomes a confusing situation, you know? Like,
yeah,
you're not conflicted
I mean,
when you're at Safeco wearing Mariners shit as a Mariners fan if you want to root for the Mariners to win.
Yeah, but there's a limit to that. Like, if the Mariners are playing the Padres, the Mariners can go to hell.
Yes.
It doesn't matter who it is. There's one team that I for sure, I actually feel things about. But when the Mariners lose or the Seahawks lose, I'm like, well, that stinks. What's for dinner?
Sure. Well, you're an emotional guy. I've lost all
Yes.
of the sports emotion. I've probably told you about this before, but when the Seahawks lost the Super Bowl to the Patriots, I think it was like the year was probably 2016. It was from the 2015 season, maybe. Anyway, I was at this bar called the Copper Door, which was my favorite bar at the time. And we were in this it wasn't a private room, but we had the room all to ourselves. Like nine of us and a buddy of mine, and that happens, and one of my friends spits on the TV, which is not good. That's bad to start. That's very bad. Spits on the TV, goes out of the room, goes out of the bar, slams the door on his way out. Big commotion. another friend, basically simultaneously, full throwing motion, throws a pint glass against the wall. It breaks into, holy like, shit, hundreds of pieces. It should be fully shatters this pint glass. I didn't think, did it, I mean, pretty good advertisement for the structural integrity.
I was going to say, that wall didn't get dented or nothing?
Yeah, not really very badly. And but, I mean, that's pretty dangerous. Like, a lot of fucking glass and stuff flying all over the place. And what I realized in that moment is, like, I was pretty depressed by that loss. I realized that I do still have emotions connected, but I don't have, like, I think it's embarrassing to have, like, uncontrollable emotions about a franchise as an adult.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, you see people fighting at a game or something.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not about, you know, throwing a hot dog or, you know, it's not about something, you know, legit.
If I'm fighting you at a sporting event, you have to have disrespected my family, like, acutely.
If I'm fighting at a sports event, you got to be a disabled, crippled person in a wheelchair trying to walk in on my daughter in the bathroom at a Mariners game, which happened.
Can you tell, yeah, tell that story. Tell that story.
That's at the Mariners game, and my daughter's in the, you know, the family bathroom, and this guy in a wheelchair walks, or probably doesn't walk up, but this guy in a wheelchair rolls up, and I think that's what he was initially so mad about, is that I said, hey, my daughter's in there, and he kept trying to get in, and I go, hey, dude, my daughter's in there, you're trying to walk in on my daughter. I think that was the first thing that got him mad, because he's like, I don't walk anywhere. But yeah, so he tried to get in, I'm like, no, my daughter's in there, and he rolled away. And then a minute later, like, you know, the bathrooms are really close to the seats, the field. So I'm like right there looking out over the field, 15 feet from the door of the bathroom. And I see this guy rolling up again. I'm like, what the hell? And I go, hey, she's still in there. And he keeps rolling. Hey, she's still in there. And for some reason, she didn't lock the door because she's a kid with an idiot, tiny brain, you know. Yes. And she didn't lock the door. So he starts walking in. I go over and I like, literally close the slam the door. I'm like, dude, get the fuck out of here. And then he starts yelling at me, why are you such an asshole, blah, blah, blah. And he's, like, calling me names and calling, like, and it's making a scene. It looks like I'm bullying this disabled guy. And now I'm, like, now I got to raise my voice and let everyone know that you're kind of a pervert real quick.
Yeah. Yeah, it's because you don't look good from anyone looking. And most of the time when you're picking sides in a fight like that, you're just looking and going, like, who's the obvious underdog? And I think – yeah. Probably everyone would look at that and be like, oh, this relatively able-bodied guy, I mean, probably can't move very fast, but he's probably the aggressor here. And this guy who has no business getting into a fight with somebody would obviously be the victim. And yeah, that's a shitty one.
It is funny how fast it changes, though, how fast, like, the public looks, you know? Like, he says, why are you being such an asshole to me? And everyone goes, wow, why is he being such an asshole to him?
Right.
And then I yell, because you're trying to walk in on my daughter when she has her pants off. And then everyone's like, well, maybe. I don't know. Okay, this is uncomfortable for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's and it's almost like at a point where it's almost like you guys must know each other. Like, if I was seeing that, I'd be like, these guys are brothers.
I was talking to him like that because I was, like, I was upset with him, but not, like, everyone could tell I wasn't about to fight him.
Right. Was, you know? Do you have, so you have a brother with Down syndrome, which you've talked about a lot. Do you have, was this man?
Yeah, you guys look alike.
What's that?
You guys look alike. Looks just like you.
Maybe my dad got down, dude, back in the day.
You got the close eyes, you know?
Was this man developmentally challenged?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It didn't seem like it.
Because that's another thing that will kind of, like, sway public opinion is not just physical limitations, but if this dude, if he wasn't, like, mentally limited.
Well, here's the thing is you automatically assumed. People do that, too. People automatically just... It's a weird thing that people do, but people will treat disabled, like physically disabled people, as if they're mentally disabled all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, you're in a wheelchair? You must also be, you know, you must be lame and dumb, you know?
It's very funny that you tried to avoid saying, like, an offensive slur for developmentally challenge people or my when I stop saying that slur, by the way, there, what's that? Who's that comedian that has the joke that's like, we're just gonna start using? I think it's like maybe Nick DiPaolo, but it's like, yeah, you could change the, maybe Colin Quinn, but it's like you could change the word, but we're just gonna start using the new word the same way. And my wife is a teacher, and when she started teaching, she was like, yeah, the politically correct phrase at the time was cognitively and intellectually disabled. And so, of course, like, I started using that in a derogatory way.
That is such a long insult, too. You're cognitively and what? I can't remember what it was.
Cognitively and intellectually disabled. But the you said lame, which is funny because I use lame like in the colloquial way, like, oh, that sucks. But lame is also a like a for many people like that's in the family of those offensive slurs.
It's not that's not an offensive word though. Lame, it's like lame, dumb. And deaf, right? Like, isn't dumb like isn't technically dumb supposed to be you can't talk or something like that?
Maybe
mute. I know mute is like something. There's well, no, like that's a technical word for dumb, though. It's like it's not supposed to mean oh you're dumb or stupid. It's supposed to.
Yeah, I think moron was a medical word. Like these are all these
moron. Yeah. Oh, she's moronic.
Mm-hmm.
And women too. Women couldn't get away with anything.
Yeah, why'd you pick out? Insane. Yeah, why'd you make it a woman in your example?
Because they would do that. A lot of doctors would just
it's fucked up. Josh. I'm not. You know what? I'm not.
They would diagnose women as being morons. Like, oh, she's upset her husband hit her. She must be a moron. She doesn't even understand how life works.
Are you sure this isn't just Dr. Firestein analyzing the women in his life? Jeez, what a sexist!
I've given my wife 4 lobotomies, and she loves me more every time.
That's good. Okay, let's talk about sports because I have somewhat limited time, and you wasted a bunch of it with your passport and birth certificate talk. That's not going to be on the podcast.
Thanks for bringing it up again.
Yeah, it's pretty upsetting to find out this guy's going international. So you're a Padres fan, or it is happy to find out your fail. Maybe we will leave it on because maybe it's it is happy to find out you're failing to go international.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think of like when I've been excited. For like the most exciting, obviously most exciting moment in sports for me are like when the Seahawks won the Super Bowl is the most exciting. But yeah. Like non-championship, like mid-season, maybe before the season, what the most exciting. And I remember there was a time when the Mariners, I think it was in a couple weeks' time, they signed Sean Figgins and traded for Cliff Lee. And when they traded for Cliff Lee, not only did they trade for him, but it was also a deal that I was like, oh, this is like, they gave up a bunch of like guys that I don't think are going to, because I was like pretty aware of the farm system. And I'm like, I don't think any of these guys is going to be very good. And none of them were. It was Philippe Amont was like the best player. A dude named Tyson Gillies, who ironically was.
That sounds like a good name.
He had like an amazing season in the High Desert High A League. But that league is like, it's like if Colorado was also super hot, like high elevation and super hot dry temperatures. And so the ball just flies. The stadiums are small. So he like had like incredible stats in high A ball, but then became a normal player after that. But he was also, I believe, one of the only deaf players ever. You'd call him dumb or something. You'd have a real rude slur for him, but he couldn't hear. He was deaf. And then there was a dude named JC Ramirez. And JC Ramirez and Amont were in the majors a little bit, but neither one was like.
But he was legit deaf.
Yeah, I think he was legit deaf.
That's so wild to me to. Because like part of some of the things in baseball that are, you know, you fall in love with as a player and a fan is the sounds, you know, the ball smacking against a mitt or the crack of a bat.
Yeah, I suspect he was like lifelong deaf, so it's probably not like he's
missing out. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm sure he is missing out.
You got great eyes too. I mean. You got to watch the entire. You can't look down and spit seeds out and then hear the bat and go, oh shit, where is it?
You know, yeah, that's true. You got to have like.
Actually pay attention.
Yeah, you got to have high, like a high attention span or a long attention span. Also, I think like my, I had a coach in my middle school coach used to do this thing that was like, in retrospect, it's so funny, but it was so stressful. If you missed a sign, he would let you miss a sign once. So he gives you the steal sign. You're on first base. I didn't get the steal sign very often, but he would give you the steal sign.
I can't
sign.
Imagine.
He gives you the steal
sign.
You miss it. He goes, okay, I'll give him the sign one more time. If you miss it a second time, he goes, you're stealing. Like yells it across the diamond so that you will get thrown out. It's like now the out, what's become more important than the out is you learning the lesson of paying attention to your signs. Anyway, so I remember this moment where I was the most excited, fucking Cliff Lee. Sean Figgins turns into a disaster, but at the time it felt like a no-brainer deal. They made a bunch of moves that were like, they were good, and then they were going to be even better because of this. These two moves, those two moves ended up being not shit, but I, have you ever had a moment in your life, so the Padres traded for Juan Soto, Josh Bell, Josh Hader, and they also got, what, Brandon Drury, they've in the last couple years... They've signed Manny Machado. Fernando Tatis has become an amazing baseball player. They've really sold out. They signed Eric Hosmer in a deal that now they regret, and they gave him up for basically nothing for the Red Sox to pay a small portion of his salary, I believe. But the A.J. Preller, their GM, has been like full systems go, it seems like, since he became the general manager there. Has there been a moment that's been more exciting to you as a sports fan than this moment or than like that deadline?
Definitely the trade deadline is that's the most exciting trade I've ever seen. It might not be our greatest trade ever. I think our greatest trade ever for the Padres, at least, was getting Fernando Tatis Jr. for James Shields back when Fernando was like 17 or something like that.
Was that, did he go to Tampa Bay or was it
Chicago?
Chicago, okay.
Chicago White Sox. They had Tatis in their minor league system somewhere, and I think he was like 17 or 18 years old. And the Padres traded James Shields at the time, was a huge pickup for Chicago, and then he went to Chicago and just absolutely failed. One of the most lopsided trades of all time. So that wasn't exciting at the time because we didn't know.
Right.
So this one for sure is way more exciting than any other trade we've ever seen. And all the other people we picked up, like Manny Machado, Eric Hosmer, who is gone now, rest in peace. Not really. Hate him. Sucks at first base. They've all been like off-season acquisitions or free agent signings.
Yeah.
And this is huge. I mean, Juan Soto, I mean, when I heard it was Juan Soto, I was like, no way. It's not going to happen. And then that was the talk. It was like a week and a half, Juan Soto. And then it's like the Cardinals are interested. And I'm like, well, that would be a great fit for Juan Soto. They're pushing for that wild card spot and for that division spot against Milwaukee. And then they're like, well, the Dodgers are looking at them. And that's just like been our history. It's like the Padres want somebody and the Dodgers just have the ability to get them. And it's not just they want them. It's not a rivalry. They're very intent on letting us know that they're not our rivals, but division rivals, you want to keep stuff away from them. It happened with Mookie Betts in, I think, 2019 or 20. Maybe 2020, where the Padres were looking at Mookie Betts, and he was going to come over to the San Diego Padres, and then LA swooped in and gave him more money. He chose LA, and he's doing great there. Then Max Scherzer last year was getting traded, and LA swooped in at the last second. Everyone thought for sure it was going to be San Diego, and then they got Scherzer and Trey Turner, which was a huge like lopsided, and that happened to us this year. We got Josh Bell included, and so that was huge. I don't know if it was the best moment. Though, just trade for sure. Best moment, hard to say, but when I, 8 years old, 9 years old, watching the 1998 Padres go to the World Series, that was an amazing whole year.
Well, you're kind of in the boat that I was in until the Seahawks won the Super Bowl because you're a Padres fan, you're a Chargers fan, and then do you have any other teams that I don't even know? Is there any other teams that I'm not thinking of that were you like a San Diego State fan ever?
No, I don't. I don't ever follow college stuff, so I wasn't really a college basketball guy or anything like that. I don't have a basketball team. I don't. If the sport didn't exist where I grew up, I didn't watch it.
I see. So yeah. Basically, you're like Chargers and Padres exclusively. So you've seen the Chargers have been to a Super Bowl in your life, I believe, also, and lost that. So you've been on the.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody from Pittsburgh yesterday. That were it not for the Seahawks beating the Broncos in the Super Bowl the year before they lost to the Patriots, like I mean, we'd be a fucking cursed city. It would feel like Buffalo here. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You'd feel super cursed. Yeah, that's for sure. Because yeah, I don't ever think about that. But you're right. It went from. I mean, the reputation was huge. That team was so good.
In my lifetime, though, there was like the 95 team, in the 95 Mariners team was like a huge, like out of nowhere. They were very good, a lot of very good players, but like came kind of from nowhere.
That is the weirdest thing to me, too, by the way, because when I moved here, I'm a pretty big baseball fan, but I'm not a huge baseball fan outside of my own market.
Right.
And so I get here and then I have friends talking about, oh, yeah, that 95 team, that 95. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, 95 team? Didn't the Yankees win the World Series that year? What are you talking about?
The Yankees did not win the World Series that year because the Mariners beat the Yankees in the wild card round.
That's right. But anyways, it was somebody else. The point is,
Cleveland, I believe,
go to the World Series. It's so insignificant that no one even remembers, Casey. Like, and that's like the claim to fame for the Mariners, and that makes me so sad.
Well, you know,
the claim to fame is winning one, divisional series or whatever it was.
So it was the first time the team had ever been to the playoffs. And it was like 20 years into the franchise's history, and they came from behind. They were like 13 games back in August or something like that.
Wow.
And so they came from behind, and there was like, I think it was the first ever, it couldn't have been the first ever, but it was there was a one game playoff also. And so it was like very cinematic. The Mariners, like they basically, it took like, till the end of the year, then there was a one-game playoff where Randy Johnson pitched. That game was crazy. I remember riding the bus.
Oh, that roster, too. It's easy to romanticize this, for sure.
Of course. And then, that had, like, Luis Soho, who's built like you and me, hit a Little League home run where it was, like, two throwing errors, but it was, like, a Little League grand slam. And then Edgar Martinez, 1995, game five. And I believe the Mariners also went down 0-2 in that series. And they were like, no team has ever come down from like being 0-2 in a series or whatever the thing was. It was like so unlikely at the time. So it had never happened before. And Edgar Martinez hits this game winning double. And we did have at the time a Hall of Fame broadcaster that called it. It was like a very cinematic time in our
Dave Niehaus. Yeah, that was a great call.
Yeah, and I actually think like Rick Riz might have the more iconic call, but people give credit to Niehaus anyway. And then they have the 2001 season where they win 116 games. They tie the all-time record for wins in a season and still don't win the fucking World Series. Don't even go to the World Series. They've never been to the World Series.
Never been.
Yeah, so like that and the 95-96 Seattle Supersonics, who lost to the Bulls. I wasn't alive in 79 when they won the fucking championship. So my whole life has been these like near misses, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Oh, wow. That mid-90s Bulls team was supposedly the best, right? Or
yes.
I don't know much about basketball.
Yeah, that's the team that won. That's the Last Dance is like their last year as a team. I think it was 98.
See, that was the Padres World Series in 98 too. That was the same thing. It was like
the Yankees.
The Yankees. Yeah. The Yankees in the 90s. Forget about it.
Well, even more heartbreaking is like the Sonics, the years that Jordan was out, which were like the years that other people had a chance to win a championship. So the Rockets won both those championships, but one of those years, the Sonics were the number one seed. They had the best regular season record, and they lost the only the only time ever a number one seed has lost the series to a number eight seed in basketball. That's how fucking cursed it would feel I was so happy that it didn't come down to the end in that Broncos game. I was so happy.
Right.
It was just a huge blowout. Yeah.
That would have been excruciating.
So an interesting thing you might not know. I mean, I think you may know it intuitively, but probably can't measure it. But like, so Josh Bell is like a two wins above replacement first baseman, I think, is what he's going to end up being. And Juan Soto is very good. I think he's like a 5 or 6 win guy typically. The two guys they're replacing, I think most prominently are Nomar Mazara and the aforementioned Eric Hosmer. And both those guys are What's that?
It's kind of, well, it's not necessarily Nomar Mazara. I mean, he's replacing Nomar Mazara, but Mazara was replacing Will Myers when he was on the IL. And so Will Myers has played some first base, he's played some DH, and he's played some outfield, or some center field, actually, since we got Soto. But yeah, it is worth mentioning that that guy coming in and working, that's a huge difference. And then, you know, like you said, Josh Bell replacing Eric Hosmer.
Yeah, so is Mazara what I'm getting at is, like, he's basically taking away that trade takes Mazara out of the lineup most nights, right?
Yeah, actually, I think he might be sent down to El Paso.
So that's like if you were talking about it in terms of like profit, that's a 100% profit. Like that whole thing is you've basically traded off. You're not, if there was a guy that was like a 2-win player in the outfield, and maybe that's what Myers is at this point. I actually haven't paid that much attention to what Will Myers. I thought he was.
I can't imagine it's that much.
Anyway, yeah, that's like, those are two huge additions. And then Josh Hader, we talked about. So they trade for Josh Hader, and apart from, did you know
per se last night?
Did you know that Josh Hader has he's got a troubled past. Did you know that?
I did not know that until the Padres acquired him. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And everyone's like, yeah, it's pretty cool. You guys think of me Padres fans or what? You guys all racist? And I still didn't look up what he did, but like, I don't want to be involved.
It's, by the way, it's like the thing about it that's so frustrating is it's like the, he was like 15 or something on social media. And I'm not saying that, you know, whatever. These are like impossible situations where you have to be the one defending someone saying racist things. But like, if you or I had to fucking defend everything we said at 15, like, thank God social media did, like, social media basically started existing when I was 17 or 18. Like the earliest, like, MySpace became popular when I was just leaving high school. And I think about all the shit my friends and I did and said that, like I have a, like my friend, I have a friend that's Salvadorian. And when we were in high school, we'd be driving around Seattle and he would see like a couple, basically he would see like a group of minorities. It could be a minority couple. His favorite thing was to do the shit with interracial couples, was his favorite thing to do, but he would do it with whenever there was minority. And I'll remind you, this man is Salvadorian. He would open up my window on my car as I'm driving. He would open up the window and he'd yell white power out the window and then recline his seat all the way back so you could only see me in the car.
Jesus Christ.
Like,
I don't believe this guy existed. I think this is all you doing this.
He's my Tyler Durden. He's my Juan Durden. No, but it makes sense. It shapes like the kind of comedian that I think I am, why I think I'm funny. Like, I grew up with these funny people. We did a lot of funny things that would now be considered offensive. I also grew up in like Counter-Strike was, I was pretty young when that became a big thing, like online gaming where you could have a mic and talk shit and say horrible shit to people online. Yeah. Internet forums, fucking e-bombs world, like all that stuff started as I was at the perfect age where that if you had caught me back then and all my buddies, like the conversations we were having on the internet, like just jokes, we knew it was jokes, but if you just read it out of context, it would be fucking insane. And so I'm like, this dude was 15. He's 28 now. He can't change.
Hey, thanks for having me on the Casey McLean confessional.
Yeah, I'm confessing to my horrible racist crime. Is what I'm doing right now.
You're not gonna get me, buddy. I'm keeping that shit deep seated.
I've seen you scream the N-word many times. Don't.
Okay. Nomar.
We did. Yeah, we did do comedy in Arizona. So,
yikes.
Yeah, I don't know. But as a pitcher, like, that dude's one of the most dominant pitchers in baseball.
Who?
Josh Hader. That's who we're talking about.
Oh.
God.
Like, because I yelled Nomar at you. Yeah, well, he blew a save last night, but I'm still excited to have him.
Yeah, I mean,
hopefully it works out.
You didn't even know he was a pitcher. You just knew about the racist stuff and you were stoked.
Yeah, I was just a big fan. I was like, oh, he plays baseball too? That's crazy. I thought they were all brown. Which, by the way, I gotta say this. I love Manny Machado, but it's frustrating when American players play for different teams in the World Baseball Classic. He's committed to playing for the Dominican Republic, And I'm like, dude, you're from Miami. Fucking why are you playing? Come on, play for us, dude.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's interesting you say that, but also, like, if it weren't for American players, then, like, Europe just doesn't, they might have to do, like, a just all Europe team. It's like Max Kepler and a bunch of, and like, three pitchers.
It's not many, yeah.
So, like,
does Liam, what's his name, the Australian guy, Liam Hendricks, does he have to play for Europe?
Yeah, he just plays.
Is he the only Aussie player?
Europe and their former colonies. I don't know if there's more Australian players. There was a player that played for the Mariners for a while named Ryan Roland Smith. That was the this is like a weird
Roland
thing.
Smith.
He was the Do first player ever to have a hyphen on his jersey, I believe.
Do your best Australian accent.
Oi, mate.
That's it. Come on, say two outs in the bottom of the ninth.
Two outs in the bottom of the ninth. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
Yeah,
that's
that was decent. Two outs, bottom of the ninth, Ryan Roland Smith steps to the plate.
Two outs? Yeah, it's weird they do their vowels. They add extra syllables to every vowel.
Yeah, I have this joke where I talk about David Attenborough, and I'm deciding if I want to. I don't have a British accent. I don't really have any accents. Like, you put me on the spot, and I came through in the clutch. I feel good about that. I can do a Philly accent okay, but I have to start by saying water.
Water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, give me a sentence in Philly die. Philly dialect.
In Philly dialect,
yeah, tell me, hey, can you give me a water and a cheesesteak from down the street?
Hey, I need a water and a cheesesteak from Pat's or Gino's.
That's not bad.
It's not bad. I will say, so mutual friends of ours, Taylor Bonzer and Zach Sommerfeld. Zach Sommerfeld pretends he's from Philadelphia. He's really from like a suburb of New Jersey and not even the parts that are close to Philadelphia. He just really thinks that
he's from old Jersey.
Yeah, he's fucking bullshit, dude. That guy's, he might as well be a New Yorker, you know?
He might as well be from Florida.
He is from Florida. That's pretty much it. Yeah, his look is Florida. Yeah,
flops, dude. He's from Florida.
You're absolutely right.
That guy gets drunk and throws beer cans into the ocean. Come on.
Yeah, you're right. And then Taylor Bonzer, I was doing a Philadelphia accent and nailing it, crushing it. And Taylor Bonzer was like, "What accent is that? That's not even a real accent." And then Zach Sommerfeld, like, sadly had to go, "No, it's a pretty good. That's a pretty good Philadelphia accent, actually." I've noticed that everyone's rooting against me all the time. Do you ever feel that way?
I feel that way right now.
Mainly
you called me to set me up.
Mainly the Kuwaitis and the fucking Pakistanis or whatever, other place you said.
Yeah, keep going, please. You're right.
Cubans, the Cubans.
Cubano.
The Cubans can't play in the World Baseball Classic, can they?
I believe they have a team. Do they not?
I don't know. They might. That's got to be the biggest source of defection. Is like they can't. You got to keep the good players back, otherwise they're going to defect to the U.S.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that works.
Are you aware of like all the shit that led to us having the embargo with Cuba? I've only learned about it through Mad Men. Watching Mad Men.
Something about Russia and Cold War and Che Guevara.
I think it's Fidel
killing
Castro,
a lot of
probably,
people,
right?
Or something. Fidel Castro, Che Guevara, like friends or something.
Was Che Guevara Cuban?
I don't know what he was, dude, but he's a college hero.
Yeah, they do love him. They do love him. That's like my favorite thing is
he's a college student's hero and a mass murderer's hero. He is just so versatile.
I like my favorite thing is to just find a controversial person, not research them at all, and then just make them my entire personality.
Oh yeah, I've been making stuff up about him for years. You know that he gave candy to kids in Venezuela for in exchange for murders.
He was your Chuck Norris. Then.
Yeah, he was.
He was Chicano Norris for you.
I looked him up on Wikipedia. Something about a literacy campaign, Cuban Missile Crisis, CIA, left wing, his legacy. I'm just reading all the things that are highlighted here. I don't know.
Gotcha. You're just like reading the chapters of Wikipedia to me right now?
Yeah.
Wow, very exciting.
Yeah, this is a hard-hitting podcast here, dude.
Can you tell me why? Because you're one of these people that thinks this, I think. You think that San Diego is the only place in America with good Mexican food. And that
that's not true.
My pushback on this is always, Mexicans are all over the place.
California, Nevada, and Arizona.
Mexicans are all over the place.
Sure.
I mean, I could see, there's probably not great. I mean, I've been to Montana, and the one Mexican restaurant in Bozeman, Montana, I wasn't blown away by, but it was still, pretty good because there's an actual Mexican lady working there.
Yeah, I think a lot. Are you asking me why I think it's better?
I think you're full of shit. I'm confronting you about it.
I think that there's lots of good places that do it well, but
I think you're elitist scum.
Look, dude, if you're gonna make guacamole, are you gonna want the avocado?
Can you pronounce it guacamole, please? It's a mole. It's one of the moles.
Guacamole. If you're gonna make guacamole, you need avocados. Yeah. That are from Mexico. You know, you want to get close. You know, you don't want to, what's that famous Copper River salmon served to you in Dallas? You know what I'm saying?
I'll give you this.
There's local produce, local cheese and meats and stuff like that that you can't get in other places.
Okay. I disagree on the meats. Cows grow everywhere.
They do not grow everywhere.
They grow in
Mexican cows. You know what? They had the commercials.
Wait, so do you think Mexican cows are do they bathe in taco seasoning or something?
They don't produce milk. They produce leche.
Horchata.
They produce dulce de leche. That's what the only thing they produce. But you know those commercials, California cows are happy cows? Dude, that's why the food's so good.
What if the place is, because I don't, no, if you good know meat, much about milk. Geography, Josh. I don't know if you know much about geography, but San Diego not officially a part of Mexico.
Not officially.
It's part of the United States, technically. It's inside of our borders and has our government and money and all that.
I wouldn't know. I need a passport, and I don't have one.
So. Yeah, you need a passport to go to San Diego.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
So, yeah, that's something I'm frustrated with you about.
About Mexican, really? About Mexican food? It's better there. It's just a different style. It's just better there, you know?
One thing that I will say is I suspect there is, because Washington State.
You can make pizza just as well everywhere, too.
I agree with that.
And I know your stupid ass loves New York pizza. New York pizza is the best pizza.
New York style pizza. New York style pizza.
All that matters is that a fat guy named Gino sweat into my cheese.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Yeah, same thing. A fat guy named fucking Nacho.
Listen, I've known some fat Hectors in my life, okay? In Washington State. We don't need to, I don't need to go to San Diego to know a fat Mexican guy.
My sister had sex with my fat friend named Hector.
Oh wow! How good of a cook is he? Is the question.
Terrible. He's not good at anything, actually.
Oh well, that's too bad. Even the sex.
He's in and out of jail. He's not even good at selling weed. He gets caught. Sent back to jail.
Was it? How was the sex though? Is my question. Can we get your sister on the line to find out?
I don't know. You can find out from my sister if you have.
Let's get her on the line. Let's get this podcast has just shifted. we're on a three-way call all of a sudden. I think New York style pizza that I've had in other places is good. It just happens to be my favorite style. I think Chicago style pizza sucks no matter where you make it.
Dude, you are stupid. You are lame and dumb.
Like the deep dish? You like deep dish?
I love deep dish.
You're fucking trash, dude.
Dude, I love deep dish.
First off, you got to wait 4 hours for it, and then you fucking get it, and it's a pool of garbage.
Yeah, and then they give you a plastic fork, and you go to town.
Yeah, that shit's a casserole.
Plastic fork on a paper plate, I am trash.
Yeah. Well, New York pizza comes on the most New York experience for pizza is you order two pieces of pizza, and they give you two plates that are the cheapest plates in the history of paper plates. And you have to fucking figure out how to hold both of them on separate plates with one hand.
Yeah, I get it. New York pizza is better because it's harder to eat.
No, yeah. You can eat it. No, it's way easier to eat. What are you talking about? You can carry
the
fucking
pizza made with rat milk.
You can carry. Jeez. you can carry the fucking pizza. You can one-handed eat that pizza with Chicago pizza. You need like a fucking shovel to get it out of the dish, and then you need both hands plus a spotter to eat it. It's trash, dude.
You can use a garden.
Garden hoe?
A garden shovel. Yeah, garden hoe.
You're a garden hoe.
I could be. I like tomatoes.
Oh, boy. It's a euphemism for...
too much.
Something that I cannot talk about on this podcast legally.
You know why Chicago-style deep-dish pizza is better?
Don't say better. You could say good, but better is insane.
Good. Well, you don't get to tell me what I argue.
No.
It's better... Oh, mister, I got a podcast with phone guests.
That's right. I could hang up this phone right now and just fucking fill in your...
Yeah, oh, poor me. I would really be upset. it's the crust, man. It's like a legit pie crust. It's thick. It's like solid. It doesn't flop around. I like a floppy pizza, but I love that.
No, New York pizza should not be floppy. You should be able to fucking fold it. It should have some structural integrity.
I'm not saying that it is floppy. I'm comparing it, you know.
To what?
To New York pizza, which is floppy.
It's not floppy, you fucking pizza. It's floppy. Not good pizza.
It's flippy and floppy. It's both.
Oh, my God.
It's flip floppy.
I'm hungry after this.
All right. Let's get some pizza.
I just ate some. We have some. I just finished off our pulled pork. You came to my daughter's birthday this weekend. Thank you.
I didn't have thanks for having me. I didn't have the pork, though. I had the brisket only.
Yeah, that was good brisket. I'm getting better at making brisket.
Yeah, you gotta sell that stuff, dude.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with that is that I'd have to quit comedy and my job. I'm going to do a never-before-heard on this podcast thing. I'm going to try to fart into the microphone. I hope you enjoy this.
Yep, let's hear it.
Oh, that was pretty good. That was pretty. That was cute.
Yeah, oh man, it felt like it sounded like you pushed it.
We're in a precarious spot in the poop cycle. I'll say that.
How about that one for you?
That was a pretty interesting sounding fart.
It was a mouth fart.
A mouth fart.
Right. Yeah. Did you know that if you have a dead tooth when you burp, that's a mouth fart?
Do you have a dead tooth?
No, I kissed a girl with a dead tooth once when I was like 16 or something.
Did you know it was dead? Because was there a certificate of like a death certificate back there, or did it smell?
I went to the funeral. I gave the eulogy.
Oh, that's nice of you. That's.
I gave the eulogy and then I made out with that chick.
Right now, I'm in a string of my life where I'm doing a lot of weddings. I'm doing two weddings. By a lot, I mean two. And I'm worried that the comedian's job will soon become. We're getting old enough that I might be doing some fucking eulogies soon. Maybe yours. Geez.
I hope so. Make it soon. Write it now. I'm telling you right now. Write it now.
I don't have anything good to say yet. We're going to have auditions. Yet. You got to do something worth talking about before.
I'm going to have auditions for my eulogy.
Right now?
I'll sit there. Yeah. I won't even sit there and watch like in the audience. I want to be in the casket, eyes closed, just listening. And then if you make a mistake, I get up and I go, nope. Next.
You think this is an original idea, but this is the start of Curb Your Enthusiasm season 11, you piece of shit hack. All right. Well, I'm going to hang up.
Play the music on me.
I got to fart some more and edit this a lot. Probably edit down to about 4 minutes.
Good luck.
All right. Thank you. I love you. Josh_Firestein everywhere.
Yeah, underscore.
All right. Bye.
Bye.